Welcome to the Wednesday night Ladies Bible Study for the Fishman Ministry. If you would like to support this ministry and our programs, please go to our website at www.thefishmanministry.org and click the donation button on the site. Thank you for your support.
And welcome, everyone, to the Wednesday Women's Bible Study with the Fisherman Ministry. We're glad you could join us this evening. Tonight we have with us Robin Atherton at Grace Ranch.
Good evening, everyone.
And with her, she has Ann Utzler.
Hi, everyone.
And also with Robin and Ann, we have Megan Atherton.
Hello, everybody.
And I'm Karen Hawker, and I'm in Vermont right now. And soon to be coming out to the ranch again. And we are in Galatians, and we're covering the rest of chapter 4 tonight, starting with, I believe, verse 19, Robin?
That is correct.
Okay, so shall I start reading?
Yes, please.
Okay. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you, I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you.
Okay, just stop right there because, you know, the book of Galatians is a epistle Paul wrote to a people who had accepted Christ in the Spirit by faith, no works, the gospel. And then people came and Jews and sought to put them back under the law, and they had received that false gospel. And so Paul now, in response, is seeking to bring them back unto the truth. And that's why he gives reference to travailing in birth again until Christ be formed in them, which is not anything by works, but by faith solely in the work Jesus did on the cross, and also the promise of God of what he's able to do. And so he goes on to just say he wishes he was there, and to change his voice, meaning having a different message, because right now their salvation is in doubt. He's in doubt of them. It's important because salvation isn't by works. It isn't by worthiness, and it never will be. So it's important to recognize our stand is solely by the blood of the Lamb and the grace and mercy of God and nothing else ever. And that's the entrance then to verse 22. 21. Thank you, Ann.
Megan, Am I still reading?
We'll let Megan read.
Okay.
Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise, which things are an allegory. For these are the two covenants, the one from the Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Agar. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all.
Okay, stop right there for a minute. So he starts with, you know, if you want to be under the law, do you hear the law? Now he's going to give a picture of the two covenants. And there, last night in the men's Bible study, Davey gave an incredibly clear picture of the two covenants. And he even said there are two covenants. We have the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, and the New Testament. And he brought it back to the Garden of Eden. And so it is worth going and listening again, or listening for the first time. So the Tuesday Bible study on the May 17th. but now he's giving a comparison, and this is for them to see, to seeking to open it up so they have an understanding. And the comparison is going to be using Abraham. So we all know that Abraham had two sons, Ishmael by Hagar. Here it's called Agar, who was a bondservant. She was not his wife. She was not free. And Sarah, who gave birth to Ishmael, and...
No, Sarah.
I mean, Isaac, thank you. And she, of course, believed God for that to take place, and because she was well past age in every way, even in strength, to be able to carry a child and give birth, because she was 90 years old, let alone having in the time of life when she could naturally even get pregnant. And Isaac, if you go back and read, walked in the promise. You don't see this great testimony of him being beset by sin and trying to do a good work and all this kind of garbage. He believed the God of Abraham, his father, and he walked in that manner, even as we need to. And it goes on to say, the one gendereth to bondage. The law is a bondage, period. You cannot keep it. You might think you can. You might think you're good enough and that you do, but if you let the Lord in, it'll become clear that you don't. Whereas, as I said already, Isaac walked by faith in the knowledge of God and not by works. And in that place, he served God. And it makes then a comparison. It goes from Hagar and Sarah, who's unnamed, and their children, Ishmael and Isaac, to Mount Sinai and Jerusalem. And then it also makes a comparison between the Jerusalem that we all know on this earth and the Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem that is above, which is free. That's the free one. Not anything on this earth, including Jerusalem. So that's the beginning of this allegory and this comparison, seeking to win the Galatians back to salvation by faith and grace, not by works.
And of course, Mount Sinai is where the Lord gave Moses the law. So it's, you know, following along with the law, Hagar, Ishmael,
the bondage.
Law, and bondage, exactly.
And it's interesting because, of course, the Jews, instead of allowing the law to rightly prepare them for a Savior, went into bondage by the law.
Yeah.
And thought themselves acceptable because of their adherence, in quotes, to the law.
But even though nobody could ever follow the law perfectly.
And that was, you know, really hidden from them, because even the Apostle Paul didn't know that. Mm-hmm. He was a law keeper in his understanding, yeah, until the Lord told him otherwise. So, Karen, picking up... and one other thing on verse 26, but Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all, and that's believers, not of all the earth. And when I say believers, people who know the gospel and go after standing in it and that alone. And I put it that way because we fall short from that. So it's not, they never struggle against their flesh or other things, but that they know the truth and that's the standard they hold to and come to, notwithstanding all the goofiness that we can partake of at times, the struggles, doubts, whatever. And I'll just say one other little thing. Doubt is, if you have to realize, doubt is a manifestation simply of not taking God at his word. That is the definition. That's what we're talking about, is you just don't believe God. So if he says you are accepted because you've accepted his blood to wash you, you're going to have to stand on that regardless of what you've just done, how you feel, what anybody else may think about you or whatever. Doubt is not believing what God said. That's what it is. So we can fight that and put that one off.
The other thing there, Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. We know from Revelation 19 and 21, I think, that New Jerusalem, which is what this is the Lamb, the bride of Christ, that is the Lamb's wife. Not in the sense of us having wives, you know, of earthly wives.
Not as a man and a woman.
No. But that's just, when it says it's the mother of us all, it's referring to the fact that New Jerusalem is.
Yes. If you go and read that, it's interesting because she's clothed in the righteousness of the saints, which is a beautiful thing, I think. So, Karen, verse 27.
For it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband.
Okay. So now this is kind of a interesting scripture here. And I think this comes out of Isaiah. But rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. This here, the barren and the desolate, is actually referring back to New Jerusalem. And she which hath an husband is the Jerusalem that now is, or the husband being the law. That's what this he's talking about here and referring to. So rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. And you can also see examples of that. Wait, just Isaac being born of Sarah. She was barren. Elizabeth, John the Baptist's mother, was barren.
Samuel's mother, Hannah.
Hannah, that's right. Yeah, she was barren. But here, the desolate is New Jerusalem, and she which hath an husband is that husband being the law and Jerusalem that now is.
And it is written in Isaiah 54:1.
Okay. Cool. And Karen even put that in there, so okay. Praise God. So Megan, verse 28.
Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free.
Okay. So it's interesting because we read in the beginning how Paul stood in doubt of them. But so when he says, now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. Now that promise is the thing, talking about doubt, that we have to choose to believe that which God said, he will perform. So one thing he said is that Christ died for our sins, all of them, period. So we're free of our sin.
Amen.
It's not a license, but it is a freedom that we partake of by faith, because we are sinners. But also, you know, all that he says he will do, all that he says that if we believe shall he will do in and through us, all of that is part of the promise that we need to know and walk in. And if you look at just Mark 16, where it says these signs shall follow them that believe, that's a picture of what it is to walk as children of the promise. And God doesn't, there's no shadow of turning in him. That which he said he would do and has done, he will. And if you look in James, where it says that he, if any of you lack wisdom, ask of God, and he giveth liberally to all men and upbraideth not. Mm-hmm. It's interesting because we can feel as though he isn't going to give it to us because we deserve upbraiding. Right? Isn't that how it works? But it says right there, and we know that because he has promised it to us, and he promised it to a people that weren't perfect, us. So we have to begin to really choose to take him at his word and wrestle down the things that steal it from us. And then he goes into something we all know in many forms. First of all, he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit. We know Ishmael from the beginning of those two half-brothers has persecuted Isaac. And they do till this day. I mean, that's the whole war against Israel is
Islam comes from Ishmael.
Yeah.
And we see it every single day on the news. So they are the children of bondage, and they persecute the children of promise.
The one thing I would like to say, if anybody who is a child of Ishmael is listening, that the salvation is the same for Ishmael and Isaac. All you have to do is humble yourself and receive it.
That's right.
Without a doubt, Isaac was chosen, but you know, those of us sitting here weren't. We chose Christ.
Amen.
We're no different if you'll just humble yourself and not get hung up about the fact that you're of a different line of Abraham. But there's also an element whereby, be it in the church or be it out of the church, those who walk by the faith of Christ are persecuted by those who walk by the law and unbelief, period. And so he that is born after the flesh persecutes him that is born after the spirit. If we be born after the spirit, we have experienced this.
Yes.
Even so it is now. That's how he ends, verse 29.
The other aspect of that is he that's born after the flesh, your flesh persecutes him that's born after the spirit, your spirit. The flesh is always going to be at war with your spirit and never going to be in agreement with the word.
Yes. We can truly be our worst enemies. I haven't found an enemy that is as difficult as my own self. But anyways, nevertheless, what saith the scripture? So here he says, you know, the bondwoman and her son will not inherit with the free woman and her son. And so it is, you choose one or the other. And if you find yourself, which we all do, coming under some kind of work that makes us righteous, just turn from that. It's no big deal. Just turn from it. No, that's a lie. And put your eyes back on the Lord, who is your only hope. And he said that without him, we can do nothing, which is sometimes where we find ourselves.
Yes.
Without him doing nothing, thinking we're doing something. But with him, we can do all things.
Amen.
Absolutely all things that are he has called us to do.
That's right.
And including believing him. So all you have to do is turn. Don't beat yourself up. Just repent and turn and choose to know your acceptance was purchased on that cross and stand and walk in that.
And let's face it, we have to depend every day on his grace.
Absolutely.
Because we can't do it on our own, and we mess up all the time. But his grace covers us.
You know, it's interesting because when we go into 5, it talks about walking in the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And walking in the Spirit doesn't mean your flesh isn't around. Walking in the Spirit, right?
That's true, yes.
Yes. Walking in the Spirit is when you walk by faith and The truth is that Jesus trumps our flesh if we will walk in the knowledge of that. That which he promises, we go through some, I mean, it's not like we're all there and have it all embraced and walk in boldness at all times, you know. Mm-hmm. I suppose we walk in varying degrees at different times, but the thing is we have to know that we can, and it's not based upon how we are, how smart we are, what great habits we have, what we did or failed to do, or what we didn't do. You know, I mean, it's just isn't based on that. And when you can walk because you believe him, notwithstanding the fact that you're just you, then you have a hope, a joy, things that he talks about as fruits later on in chapter 5. And it's good to go and read them ahead of time. I just lost my Bible on my...
The fruit. It talks about the fruit and these attributes of it.
Right. Love being the fruit.
Right.
And the attributes being joy and peace and long-suffering. Isn't that a wonderful attribute? But it's an attribute of love.
Yeah.
Where another person matters. And it talks about the sum of the law is to love your neighbor as yourself. Mm-hmm. And that was one that I used to kind of wrestle with a little, because I wasn't a great lover of myself. So, I mean, that wouldn't be the way to love another person, you know. But it's really loving the soul of another. And it's getting past your flesh, getting past their flesh, and loving each other's soul. So we'll look at chapter 5 next week. And I know it's a somewhat short Bible study, but I'd rather just start fresh next week, and I hope y'all will join us, and maybe we'll share some more thunder like you may have heard tonight. But thank you all.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.
Thanks for joining us.
Good night, all.
You are listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener-driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.